Blog Talk Radio.
Take a Run Productions. Hello, welcome to the URN Radio Show. The Outlaw is not with us tonight. He's feeling a little down in the weather, but I'm here. I'm Jeffrey Sterl. And apparently Martin's not here. Wait. Somehow Martin got put on hold. There you are. Yes, Martin.
Nice. And I'm Martin Bravo.
There we go. How'd you get on hold?
I have no idea, man.
I didn't do that.
It's the spirits, man. They do that.
They need to stop unless they're going to, you know, chime in with some opinions or something.
Right. Jump in on some photos.
Right.
Oh, man. So what's been going on this past week, man, other than gorgeous weather?
We are not shut down.
Right. Well, I mean, it's because, you know, we're not known for throwing hissy fits, so.
This is true.
And in hindsight, we can actually agree on some things,
not sit
here and speculate why I disagree with everything you say.
Mm-hmm. Oh, government officials. When will you guys actually work for the people the way you're supposed to?
They're probably like, that was so 1776.
Right? Bunch of idiots up there. I can't stand any of them. I hate them all. I really can't.
Yeah.
You start with the president and work your way down. As far as I'm concerned, they're all one and the same.
Heck yeah, man. I saw a status somewhere that said that they can fix the debt ceiling easy. They said if the debt ever becomes 3% more than the income, then nobody in Congress gets paid until it's lowered again. So I was thinking about it. I was like,
I like what Jesse Ventura had to say about it. He said, as long as they're shut down, I don't think we should have to pay taxes.
This is true.
At least federal taxes. Now, I depend on local taxes for my income, obviously.
I mean, you know what I really think? I think if the people disagree with what's going on in Congress, I mean, not so much the president or not so much, you know, individuals, but just Congress in general, I don't think people should be allotted to have to pay tax until that system is fixed, and you're like, okay, well, this is a system that we can all agree with,
mm-hmm.
and we're back to paying taxes.
And what there was a, I want to say it was one of the representatives from Nebraska, who said he's not refusing his income because he has a nice house to pay for.
Nice.
Jerk.
Right? As if his bank account couldn't pay for that house 20 times over, you know?
Right. So I guess all the people, like the parks and stuff that got shut down, I guess they don't have nice houses that they have to pay for. Where does a government official get the gall to do or say something like that? I'm hoping that it's not true, but I have a hunch that it is.
Yep. I like that. There was one post a while back. It was like, I wish politicians were like NASCAR drivers. That way you could see what sponsors, who they're being sponsored by.
Ooh, wouldn't that be good?
That would be awesome. They'd wear suits that showed all their sponsors.
Right.
man.
That'd be what's best, but that's never going to happen.
No way, man. On a better note, though, I actually paid $2.98 for gas today. How amazing is that?
I saw somebody earlier today, one of my Facebook friends posted they found gas somewhere, and I want to know where this was, for $1.77 a gallon.
What? Dude, I would drive halfway across the country for $1.77 a gallon.
Okay, hold on. He just responded to it. Ah, okay. He said it was at his local Brookshire's with their point system for shopping in their store.
Oh, okay. I mean, it's still pretty awesome if you think, you know, if you're going to shop anyway.
Right.
You know, you save up to buy a good amount of groceries, go there, and then, you know, spend your money on groceries, and then turn around, and you're like, $1.77 for gas? I'd do it.
I had no problem with that either.
Heck yeah. If our Brookshire's had a gas station, I would totally do it. Now, I know that there's a couple Kroger's that you'll save like 10 cents a gallon, but I've never seen like $1.77 a gallon. That's just insane.
I'm assuming he amassed several points for that.
Yeah.
But I could be wrong. But still, I mean, still, even like what'd you say, $2.98?
Yeah, $2.98, man.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, it's way better than the $3.77 that I got used to.
Right. I think our local Walmart, with like the Walmart card and point stuff that they do, I think it's $3.02.
$3.02.
Yeah.
Nice.
Which that's about par for the course.
Yeah. Better in California, like paying $8 a gallon and stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm. I think,
you know,
I think the place not too far from here, Copperas Cove, which I was there Monday, and I think I saw it for like $2.87.
Nice. You know, a while back, man, I did a calculation, right? And because I was complaining about paying like $3.50 a gallon for gas,
mm-hmm.
And then I was also thinking about like energy drinks, and I usually buy two at a time, and literally, I was paying like $16 a gallon for energy drinks after, you know, by the time I got to the gallon. I was like, why am I even complaining about gas when I'm paying like $16 a gallon for energy drinks? So.
Right.
But.
That's right.
It's getting to the best time of year for me, man. I'm so sick of the heat, man.
Oh, my goodness. Yesterday here, it was like 54 degrees.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yesterday I had to drive to my landlord's shop to drop off rent, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And from the time I left the house, it was 72 degrees outside. And by the time I made it like halfway there, it had dropped down to 52 degrees. I was like, yes. I was rolling out with the windows down.
If it just drops like another 30, I'll be happy.
Right. Now, if we can just get down to, like, you know, 40s, I don't know, man. I'm actually pretty happy with, like, if it stays, like, you know, low 80s during the day. I can't complain with that.
That's still hot enough for me to run air conditioning.
Yeah, but it's not hot enough for your air conditioning to not be working. You know what I mean?
That's true.
Because, you know, like right now, I have the air conditioner on right now, and my house is cold. But
right.
During the summer, I'll have the air conditioning on, and it's just enough to not die of a heat stroke.
Also, during the summertime, I keep my AC at about 72 or 73 degrees.
Nice.
So that's pretty – I like that.
Oh, man. I'm excited about tonight's show, man. We got Ian from, I don't know if he calls it SOS Para or SOS Para, but it's Spirits of the South Paranormal.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to go ahead and read his bio real quick. It says, my earliest memories of paranormal encounters was around 4 or 5 years old. My mother grew up having extremely vivid dreams that would always come true, detailed, very detailed dreams. My mom would talk with me about what she was experiencing all through my life. Paranormal topics were very common at home, except for my dad. He would always try and find a logical reason why something unusual had happened. So that's pretty cool. You have, you know, your mom believes in paranormal, and your dad is trying to find a logical reason. And then it says, when I was six, I had a fatal bicycle accident. I was dead for 20 minutes in the helicopter, my mom holding my hand and willing me back to life. I have no idea if that 20 minutes had a lifelong effect on me and created a connection with the other side. Some people think those things do. And he said, I don't know. 8 years ago, I met my wife, Erin. She, too, grew up experiencing the paranormal. She dealt with shadow people for most of her childhood. Shortly after we met, my dad was killed. My dad's death put Erin and I on a journey to see if we could contact him, to learn all we could about recording spirit voices. From my very first recordings, we were surprised and inspired by the voices we heard. We continue to record and document all we can in the pursuit of answers about this amazing phenomenon. Now, I've actually worked with Ian before, and what's cool about Ian is that, you know, he approaches it with, like, he does it scientifically, but at the same time, his investigation style is, like, real laid back. He's not really trying to, like, you know, run the show or, like, you know, tell people what to do all the time. He's a real cool dude, laid back, and man, you got to hear some of his EVP captures. Man, he showed me a couple when last time I was in Jefferson, and I was just blown away. I was like, holy crap, man, these things are like super clear. And he's actually, and you know, what's really cool is that most people can't do it, but he's picked out some really good stuff from when I used my ghost box. And I was like, holy crap, man, like, he's picked out some really interesting sayings. Sometimes when I use the ghost box, it'll say some stuff, and it's like you have no idea where it comes from. But
right,
he picked out a couple of cool ones that actually tied into the investigation we're doing down there. So that's pretty cool. But yeah, he'll be calling in about 8:15 or so, and we'll hook up with him and talk with him. Dude, you gotta if he's willing to, man. Let's see if you can talk about his experiences with doppelgangers. You got to hear the story, man. It's crazy.
Cool. Sounds good.
Heck yeah, man. And then what's really cool is that him and his wife actually got married at the Pride House.
Oh, nice. Believe it or not.
Yeah.
And that place is no more now.
Yeah. Well, the good thing is she's trying to rebuild it. So I thought that was kind of cool that, you know, she's trying to bring it back.
Right.
Because, I mean, I'm not going to lie, man. If that was me, I don't know if I could rebuild it. I'll probably just call it a loss, you know. Like, because there's a lot that goes into rebuilding something. I mean, it's not just, you know, the insurance will take care of it. It's no problem. I mean, a lot goes into it. And then a lot of the interior stuff, yeah, I mean, you're tied to it because it's your personal stuff, you know?
Right.
So, I mean, it would be a little emotional for me, not going to lie.
Oh, absolutely. I can understand that. I can definitely understand that. Oh, man. Ooh. Oh, good. I'm still eating my dinner here, and it's very good.
Nice.
I'm having myself some tamales and Spanish rice and steamed veggies, and I'm down to my last tamale.
Nice.
And I'm getting full. So I'm going to try to finish it.
It's supposed to dip down to 46 tonight in McKinney.
Oh, yeah. I love it. Hope it gets that low here. You know, what's crazy, last year when it got down real low, see, my drive to work takes all of about 4 or 5 minutes.
Uh-huh.
So, and in that time, I don't have any kind of time to, like, let the car warm up and all that. So I would actually drive to work with the window down.
Nice.
And it was like, you know, 35 degrees. To me, it felt great.
Of course, man. Because, yeah, I mean, you know, we Texans get so used to, like, you know, 147 degrees outside. It's cold. It's awesome.
And see, I hate the heat. I can't stand it.
Uh-huh.
I love the colder times of the year. I want to I actually want to go to England one time for like New Year's, and I want to experience that kind of cold.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I've experienced that kind of cold before. I was I went to Michigan during a February,
mm-hmm.
and it got to like negative 17 outside, and I think it was like negative 20 something one night, and it actually got so it had been so cold up there that the Great Lakes had froze over, so I was actually able to walk pretty good distance out on the Great Lakes and not have to worry about falling through, which was pretty weird for me, and then dude, it was the first time I've ever seen actually like lakes that look like they flash froze. It looked like somebody took like big panes of glass and just dropped them down in a hole.
Hmm.
This is the weirdest looking thing.
That's interesting. Well,
yeah.
I think we have our guest on the line right now. Hello, you're on the URN radio show. Who am I speaking with?
Hey, this is Ian.
Hey, what's up, Ian?
Hey, Martin, what's up, man?
Hey, not much, man. Glad to have you on the show tonight, man.
Oh, thanks for having me. This is cool.
Now, do you call it SOS Para or SOS Para for short? Or?
Yeah, it's just SOS Para, Spirits of the South.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't sure. I didn't want to mess it up before you came on.
Oh, yeah, no, it's okay.
Sweet, man. Yeah, I was telling everybody, you know, me and you have actually worked together a couple times. And I don't know, like, for me, I mean, you investigate a lot like how me and Stacy investigate, and it's a real relaxed environment whenever we hang out and actually get to investigate together, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, you know, it seems like, I guess it was just something that Aaron and I learned, or I don't know if we learned, but it just seemed like when we, especially going to the Pride House, like early on, we would go on the weekends and hang out, and we would just leave the recorder on, and we found that we got so much more on the recording by just talking to ourselves, almost kind of like they were like, well, hey, you know, what about us? And
right, right.
You know, so just being kind of relaxed and laid back seemed to get more results, and it just kind of fell into, I don't know, you know, one bad thing we do as far as having to listen to audio is we go to a place and we pretty much turn the recorders on and they're on until we leave. So we end up with tons of stuff to listen to, but you also, you know, you never know when something's going to happen. And that way it you kind of catch the natural flow of the, you know, when and how things happen. So.
Nice. Yeah. That was kind of bad for me, too, because I used to own, like, you know, 20,000 recorders, and I'd go to a location, and the minute we stepped in and hit record and then let them go until the minute we walked out, and I was just like, when you get home, you're like, I have, like, 900 hours of audio to listen to.
Yeah, all the time. You know, I do. I have, like, I usually carry at least three with me because I found that just the recorders themselves, like, you know, who made it, what's inside, are different, and they each pick up something different. So I was like,
mm-hmm.
Well, okay, that's cool, but it causes me to have to carry all these different ones. And like you said, I mean, for every hour, it's times however many recorders. So.
Yeah, yeah. I think, you know what's funny, man, and I've noticed this here recently. I have a shotgun mic for my camera,
uh-huh.
and you can actually plug it into a recorder. I mean, it works both ways. And it is so sensitive and it's so directional. Like, I just put it in a room and hit record, and I actually pick up some pretty decent EVPs with it. And I never really understood it, because you would figure you want something that's, like, more omnidirectional, so you could pick up all directions at once, you know?
Uh-huh.
But this is kind of like a, once you set it down, or you just put, like, a laser light in the direction that this microphone is pointed, and that's pretty much what it's picking up. And
yeah.
Believe it or not, man, I've gotten some pretty good. I want to say Class B, nothing real Class A, but we've got some interesting stuff with it for sure.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, it could also be, like I say, we own a bunch of different mics. It's a never-ending quest for, you know, there's some microphones that just pick things up better. I mean, because of the electronics in them. I mean, you never know. That's why you just have to. I mean, you know how it is. This thing's never-ending equipment.
Oh, man, I know. Yeah,
yeah.
And then, like, you know, as soon as a new toy comes out, you're like, oh, man, I want that so bad. And then you're kind of like, and if you can't get it right away, then you're always, like, trying to figure out how the how everybody's liking it or disliking it, you know, and then just go from there. But
yeah, and then you start looking at stuff to pawn, and yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you're like, do I really need three dogs? Can I sell one of them?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Paranormal,
yeah.
Man. I usually tell people, like, when people ask me, like, oh, well, you know, what's the easiest way to get into paranormal? Or, you know, what do I need to do? And I usually tell them, like, man, just find a cheaper hobby because this hobby is going to drain you dry.
Yeah. Yeah.
I actually had somebody contact me this last week. Asking about how to start up a team and how to do all these, you know, what kind of equipment and stuff to need. And the only thing I could tell them is that, well, you start up a team by finding people who share the similar interest,
uh-huh.
Grab yourself some recorders and go someplace.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure. I mean,
I kept my costs down.
The way we started ours is much like Ian, me and Stacy were kind of just doing our own thing for a while, and then, you know, we joined a couple meetups, and we'd go to, you know, haunted locations, and then we met Clay, and Clay was, like, so good at having, like, an ear for EVP and just capture, and he was so good about documenting all that stuff. I talked to him one day. I was like, hey, man, you want to join an alliance, you know, and be part of a team. So it's kind of been the three of us, and then, you know, every now and then we'll have other people with us. But, I mean, it's not that hard, really. I mean, you know, as soon as you get like-minded people together, it either works or it doesn't, you know?
Oh, it's like a band. I've been in band since I was, like, 12. And when you have the right people with paranormal stuff, I mean, it's kind of hard to explain, I guess, to anyone who hasn't done it, but there's like an energy sort of thing. Like you either, everybody clicks and it makes things happen when you go to a location, or there's somebody that causes things to not happen. It's kind of weird.
Yeah. I mean, that's for sure too. And you know, I've noticed too, like I've talked to some people and they're like, man, I can't capture EVP to save my life. And I always wonder, like, you know, is it maybe that the spirits aren't talking to them, or they're not listening properly, or maybe that, you know, you never know, because there's just so much about this field that you just can't even begin to fathom even 1% of it, you know?
Oh, I know. Yeah, all we can do, each of us, is, you know, whatever it is that we learn and pursue, you know, that's what Aaron and I did, because it started with the recordings. And we heard these voices and we were like, wow, okay. And so we kept trying it. And the more we did it, there was a big leap from the first recordings until, a couple weeks or months later, and the voices got louder and stronger.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really strange. We wanted to do this and we didn't know where to go. And we joined a group, and it happened to be, it was ASAP, and it had Rick Moran, and we went to one location, and the second place we went was the Pride House. Never been there, and we get there, and it turns out that the owner and Aaron went to the same school, came from the same town. So, you know, it was really like, wow, you know, we were surprised. And we, after that time, I mean, we had gone back, we've been going for years, but that recording that weekend and came home And I'd never heard anything like it in my life. You know, I was hearing these voices that were as loud as ours and had character and personality. And, you know, I couldn't get my head around it. It was just for like a whole week. And another weird thing, after that week of listening nonstop, like all day, you know, I was just like in a trance. I go to a Subway, and I'm standing there, and this guy walks in, and he gets behind me. It's an old man, and he starts talking louder, a little bit louder, and a little bit louder, and then he starts to yell, and he keeps saying, "It's not about you. It's not about you." And he's talking to somebody, but nobody ever responded, and nobody looked at him, and nobody turned around, and the guy ended up walking out, but I only saw him get to about halfway through the store, and then I didn't see him anymore, kind of like he disappeared. So the whole week of listening to these voices and then having this guy, possibly some spirit, I don't know, no one else noticed him but me. It was just a really weird experience all around.
Oh, man, that's crazy.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even know what to do, man. Like somebody, some guy just starts, you know, starts normal tone and then, like, ends up yelling.
Yeah.
Now, you know, I've actually had a chance to listen. You know, you shared a couple of EVPs with me back when the last time we met up, and I was actually pretty blown away, man, because it's not very often that that you find other investigators that capture, like, full sentences, you know? And for me, I was kind of like a kid in a candy shop because, you know, me and Stacy have dealt with full sentences for a while, and usually when somebody shows you EVP captures, it's usually like, you know, one word, maybe a whisper or something like that. But when you have another investigator that has picked up on, you know, a full sentence or maybe even a short paragraph, you're like, holy crap, man, you know?
that's weird because, I mean, I completely understand. I'm constantly checking out things. I have a sincere, deep interest. I mean, this is, you know, like you... The bio that you were checking out. I mean, this has been a lifelong experience for myself and for Aaron. And I'm always listening to things. And when I hear something like that, I get excited too. You know, I'm like, wow, that's really cool. You know, someone captured that, and I'm glad for them, and just glad to be able to hear it, because it just, everything you hear either brings another question or you know, helps you to relate to something you recorded and maybe helps you figure something out, you know?
Oh, yeah, for sure. And then also, you know, speaking about your bio, I didn't know this about you until I read this in the bio, but you had a fatal bicycle accident when you were 6 years old?
Yeah. It was really weird how it happened. I still don't know, but I was riding a bike, and there was this friend of mine, and he got up on the handlebars. He was sitting on them, so I was trying to steer. It was kind of hard, and the place where my parents lived, there was this patch of land, I don't know, 30 feet or so, and then it had a drop-off, and it was completely filled with trees. It was like a forest, and somehow the bike just started leaning and turning, and I couldn't stop, and before I knew it, we were going down this hill. And the weird thing is, I mean, it was pretty much a forest. So how we didn't hit a tree, you know, I have no idea. But we went down this really long, long, steep, it's not a hill, it's 3 or 4 hills long. And at the bottom, it was a 6-foot straight drop-off, and there was a concrete drain down at the bottom.
Oh,
this kid,
man.
This kid flew off somehow, and he landed in the grass, but I hit it face first, and it cracked the front of my skull and shoved it into my brain. So yeah, that was, it wasn't good. And I was conscious for a little while, but then when they decided how bad it was, they had to fly me. My dad was in the military. They flew me from one place to another, but it was in the helicopter. You know, my mom had blocked it out for a long time. We've had a lot of interesting conversations about it, but she said, you know, they had pulled the sheet over my head, and, you know, she kept trying to, you know, not have the sheet over my face, but she held on to my hand, and she told me all the things that she concentrated on, and you know, basically did whatever she could do to will me to live. But However it happened, I opened my eyes, and the doctor had told her he wasn't going to make a report because nobody would believe him. So,
wow.
Yeah, kind of weird. And, you know, the thing that I hate about it is, you know, you hear all these stories of people that died and came back, and they saw the tunnel, they saw the light, they saw Grandma. I didn't see anything. I don't remember anything. The only thing, though, I guess that was weird is when they got me to the hospital, the nurses kept coming to my mom and asking what my name was because when they asked me, I said Tommy. So I was using a different name, and I didn't know any Tommies or anything. So,
That's interesting. That's pretty interesting. But, man, that's crazy. I mean, what an experience, you know, at six years old. I mean,
yeah.
Holy crap, man. That's a crazy start to life, man. I mean, 6 years old is you're right around the age where you're really starting to learn and starting to memorize what's going on around you, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't understand it, and there were many years after that, you know, I would have, like, night terrors and all sorts of weird things, I imagine from a head injury. Probably the coolest thing and weirdest thing is 3 years later, I had a pain in my jaw, and it got so irritated, and so my mom took me to the dentist, and he got tweezers and dug down in there and pulled out a twig from a tree. So I guess going down that hill, you know, somehow I got that tree limb, you know, I was probably screaming or whatever, and it got embedded in my mouth, so.
Holy crap, man, and it stayed in there for 3 years, you know?
Yeah, it was so deep down, it had to work its way out. It was really weird.
That's crazy. You know, after having that type of experience, do you think that might have, like, geared you towards paranormal or, like, maybe had an impact on how much you actually, you know, do research into it now?
Well, I mean, it's weird. It does after the fact. At the time, it didn't. But like I said, my mom, you know, my mom was always very aware. She had this ability to know things and it was just really strange how she was always right about things in extreme detail. And so, I mean, she was practicing, like, leaving her body. I mean, she was doing all sorts of, you know, cool things that she would talk to me about. And it, being in the military, we moved around a lot. And so there were all these different places where, you know, I would hear footsteps, people walking around, my name called, all kinds of things from an early age. And so I just kind of, I guess I thought it was sort of normal because my mom was telling me about these sorts of things and I was experiencing them. So, you know, I don't know. I don't think, the thing I hate is that I wasn't aware enough. I knew these things were going on, but I didn't think enough to record them. And I hate that, you know, because I was still a kid. I just knew weird stuff was happening, but I didn't know enough to turn on the recorder and do that, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I'm the same way. Like, in my youth, back before I, you know, I cared about getting caught by the law and stuff, I used to go to, like, abandoned buildings and just hang out for a little bit and just, I guess, just weird myself out, and then I would leave, you know? And there's a couple places, like, you might have heard about it, but here in Sherman, Texas, there's an abandoned, it might be a mental hospital or something like that. It's up here, and it's like, man, it's like four stories high, and not gonna lie, man, I almost died in that building.
Wow.
And what happened was, you know, a couple of our friends used to get together, and then we would go up there and just walk around and scare ourselves because people always told us it was haunted, and there were shadow people, and then, you know, there was demonic activity and stuff like that. And yeah, I'm kind of not really the person that's geared towards demonic activity. I mean. Until I really see it for the first time, I'm just kind of like, yeah. I mean, for me, it's just spirits, you know?
Right.
So I'm up there, and we're on the fourth floor, and me and my friend, you know, we're in the hallway together, and we're looking. You could see all the way down the hall, and at the other end of the hall, it was like this room, and one wall was completely made of glass windows. And so you could completely see down the hallway. And so we're looking down there, just scaring ourselves, and then I see a person walk from one side of the hallway to the other, and he looks like he walks into a room. And I told my friend, I was like, who the heck was that, man? There was nobody in here when we showed up, you know? He's like, I don't know. And this person didn't even make a noise. I mean, he just walked, you know? And
yeah.
They're talking about this hallway is like 20 rooms long. And what we found out is that all the rooms on the top floor were actually joined together. And so you could go in one room and walk through doors all the way to the end. But this building had been abandoned for so long that there was no longer doors on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And so I told my friend, I was like, hey, go into this room and walk all the way down. And I'll stay in the hallway and I'll walk all the way down. That way, you know, if it is somebody, we'll not catch them, but we'll meet up with them and then we can find out who they are. He's like, all right, cool. Sounds a good idea. So I get all the way to the end of the hallway and, you know, there was nobody there. So I walked into the last room and me and my friend bumped into each other. I was like, where'd that guy go? He's like, what guy? He's like, man, he's like, I thought he came back out in the hallway. I was like, no way. And then at that, I mean, we got kind of freaked out. So we took off running and, you know, this was pre-investigation days. we took off running, and then all of a sudden, man, I just got this, like, I got this real panic feeling, like, I just need to stop. And I stopped, and you know how when you stop real fast, like, your shoes slide on the floor?
Yeah.
And then, so I stopped, and then, like, the edge of my toes kind of felt like they were, like, hanging over a ledge, and I was like, what the heck? So I backed up, like, two steps, and then I turned my flashlight on, and lo and behold, man, I stopped right at the edge of an elevator shaft, and this elevator had been smashed into the first floor, and I could see all the way down it. I almost fell down an elevator shaft onto, like, rusty metal.
Ooh.
And, yeah, that was my one experience with close to death. And then,
and somebody stopped you. That was a good thing.
Yeah. I mean, at 18, that could have been my last night, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And by the time...
We have a caller on the line. We have Henry, who had a question about near-death experiences.
Okay.
Go ahead, Henry.
Hey, Ian. This is Henry.
Hey, Henry.
Nancy,
how you doing?
Actually. Doing pretty good. I know we've kind of had this discussion before, and... do you feel like, you know, having Black Martin describing that as well with his experience, do you feel like that it has somehow, like, opened the door to you somewhere physically? So when you go into these places, these spirits sense that and they're attracted to you? Because I've experienced with you and Aaron, you know, doing your EVPs and stuff, that's one thing I have noticed out of it, because y'all are very calm, relaxed, and it's like it just flows. And I've seen other people do it, and they're like rough around the diamond, so to speak. There's a difference between you two and everybody else I've seen do it, including us. So that's my question.
I mean, it's sort of weird, I guess, to have to think about it, but I know that sort of the thing that's strange is I have to keep going back to the beginning and then now, because as Martin was reading the bio, Erin also experienced in her childhood shadow figures, not good, really terrifying stuff, menacing kind of stuff. You know, having her name called, seeing all sorts of people, and she's had weird experiences. So when she and I got together and we both said, hey, this is my life and, you know, her life, we had this same interest and this same weird experiences, but it seems that once we got together, more strange things started to happen, and it's pretty much a daily thing that something happens either between her job and home, at home, or going to the store or whatever, that really weird stuff seems to happen to us. We've noticed that much, you know, that we sort of accept that weird stuff happens to us, and why, I don't know, but it's possible. You know, when I was putting that down in the bio, I thought, I have no idea. I've heard other people say there's a million theories about a million things, and some people think if you die and you come back that you somehow you have something, a connection or something. I truly have no idea, but I just know that.
Well, I do kind of, for me, I had a near-death experience. I think I explained that one to you a while back. And that was when I was young. I nearly died from pneumonia. And I remember laying in bed, and I hadn't gone to the hospital yet. Been sick for 2 weeks. And next thing I know, something was like jumping on my back, saying, breathe, breathe. And I gasped for air, and I look over, and there's nobody there. So I know.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I know for a fact, even for me going into places, it's either going to be dead as a tomb, because they know I can sense or tell that they're there, or they'll make themselves known. And, for you guys, y'all do EVPs, and I mean, it's awesome. It's really awesome. You catch some great stuff. And, for Nancy and I, we catch some things, but it's not that much. But mostly every time I catch anything, it's within full spectrum camera or IR, basically. So I'm kind of finding my niche in that part. But for some,
we see that too. There's all these different tools, and it's real interesting how different people have better results, in different areas. And I think it's meant to be that way. It's just, personalities and energy, all that stuff, sort of translates into the same thing. You can put people who have a similar personality together and have a similar energy or whatever. And maybe that's just the way I've seen people take pictures. They get lots of crazy things on their pictures. Say not much recording, but I don't know. It's everybody has some sort of connection that they just have to keep trying, and you find it. It's strange. There's so many things to research about this. The paranormal thing. There's just you don't even know how to categorize some of it because there's so many directions it goes.
Yeah, because it makes it after you look at it so much, it becomes real broad because there's so many houses or little doorways to open and check out and really specialize in. But it's kind of like, I don't mean going back to like last weekend. I mean, for an example, as what you're talking about, place we went to, there's a bunch of people, it was flatlined. I mean, it was just, the whole place was just flat. And the thing I found odd, and you hear the one side of group people talking about orbs. They're against it. Oh, it's dust, it's insects, and blah, blah, blah. And others think, because they're pretty much they're into the new and don't know any better, haven't done research probably. But, they think, oh, wow, there's something here. Well, the thing I found fascinating out of it was as much dust that I saw being kicked up in this place from my flashlight when I had it on, and a lot of digital shots were being taken, there were very, very few, if none, as far as orbs. And I found that very strange. It was like, wait a minute. It kind of made me rethink, what's the deal about the orb part now? I should be on the digital, be seeing all these orbs just like exploding through the digital. And nobody caught anything really. I mean, there's some people caught some EVPs and stuff, but mainly, I think when I shot you, you saw my full spectrum. That was the big part. Another question is I know we've discussed that, and I know y'all probably didn't get to that topic too, and that's doppelgangers. Have you come to any conclusion in that? Because there's also, like you're saying, many doors. And one of those other doors of possibility And I'm going to throw that out to you, and I'll let you carry on, and I'll be done.
Okay.
is what they call, and don't everybody jeer at it, because they'll think, oh, man, this is a New Age thing. No, it is not, because there are some pieces out there that speak of what's called bilocating, whether it's knowingly or unknowingly, being in two places at the same time. So
Yeah, trust me. After this started happening, I started trying to look into everything I can, and that was the first thing I came up with was the bilocating was, you know, people who there are witnesses to people actually, like the first one I read was a priest who was in a church. This was like 1700s, I think, and he was talking to the church, and he pulled a robe over his head. He knelt down, and he stayed that way for about 10 minutes, and he had to be in another location, and these other people in that location saw him. He talked to them. He knelt down in the other place where he started. He stood back up, took the hood off his head, and continued. So there's several stories I saw like that that had witnesses where someone who was living was able to split themselves off into another location.
There's the oldest one that's here in North America. Did you ever come across that one?
I don't know.
That one involves Native Americans in the Southwest. Every evening for a while, they would come. This lady would appear. And when the natives saw a white man and missionaries, they described this woman always come, and they talk, and she would talk about God or whatever. And she was a nun. And she was, like, I think, a nun somewhere in, like, France or Spain. And so she was still alive. She wasn't dead. She was alive. But she was over there. So that one was involved with Native American. So,
well, I've seen, you know, just like everyday folks that talk about they were walking down the street and they saw their friend and, you know, they yelled out to them and they just kept walking by. They ignored them. And so they saw him later on and said, hey, you know, why'd you ignore me? And they said, I've been over at this other place. It wasn't them. So, I mean, that's what's going on in our home, and we have no idea what started it. We moved to this place. It'll be a year here shortly, but we moved from one location to this place, so we don't know yet whether it's a land-based thing or something with the house. But, you know, when your wife, the weirdest thing was that I received an email when this first started. I received this email from Erin, and it's a picture of her thumb, and it's got this bump on it. And so it said, your thumb gave my thumb the same thing. So I thought, what in the world? You know, I called her. I said, what are you talking about? And she goes, you know, last night, you know, in the hallway, you were showing me what was on your thumb and telling me about it. And I was like, no, there's nothing on my thumb. So then we get to talking about it, and she says, but you would talk to me, and we hugged, and it's like, no, that never happened. And so that was the first time that really, you know, that's a, I don't know, it's kind of a shocking sort of feeling for both of us, because you don't know which one of you either is imagining, which we've done these things and lived with this stuff our whole lives, so we don't make things up. But, I mean, the possibilities start getting into, you know, alien-like stuff. I mean, did one of us, were we made to not remember what happened? Or, you know, is there someone actually imitating me? Because she's seen me now four times in the house, just walking by. I peeked around the corner at her, and then I actually come out of the garage where she just saw me in the house. I was not in the house, and so I've walked by her. She's seen me out of her side vision, and I stop and stare at her. And then the most recent, that was the most extreme thing that happened, other than her hugging someone that looked like me, was she was in her office, and I was in the living room, and she came out, and I didn't realize how much it had affected her, but she sat down, didn't say much, and she said, would you go in the office and get whatever it was? And I said, what's the matter? She goes, I don't want to go back in there. So I walked in there, and that feeling was so thick and heavy. I mean, it was like putting on a lead suit. And I started getting, I got disoriented, and I asked her what was going on. She said, I was sitting there, and I could see your reflection in my computer screen, and you were back there behind me. I was jamming to some music, and I could see you were moving back and forth. She said, I could see your face. And she said, I turned around, and there was nobody there. And so, yeah, it's been a lot of weird stuff that happened over a period of 3 or 4 months. I don't know whether to, like, knock on wood. It hasn't happened in about a month or two, so.
Yeah. But you also can't rule out that one other door, you know, the subconscious as well. You know, be able to do that as well when you're heavily thinking about something. You know, I had an occasion, a friend of mine up in Canada, his son was allergic to peanuts, and he went on a camping trip with some friends, and somebody went to get pizza. They knew he was allergic to peanut, anything that had any peanut oil or whatever, so it was like a vegetarian pizza, didn't have any of that. But apparently somebody mixed it up, and he died there out in the wilderness while they were camping. And as he was dying, he showed up in like 4 different places, just as thick as you and I, in the same room talking to each other.
Yeah.
And that was verified. So, yeah, that's an interesting topic. It's really hard to nail down sometimes because it's not a very common kind of thing.
Well, and for Aaron and I mean, like I say, I couldn't even probably begin a list of all the extremely bizarre things that go on at home or, like I say, I mean, I can't even, I went to a Home Depot a while back. I was on the aisle by myself. Nobody was around. There was a shopping cart like 5 feet away from me. There was no slope or anything. It was just sitting there, and I knelt down to look at something on the bottom shelf, and here comes this shopping cart. It starts rolling. And it's rolling, and it just bumps right up next to me. And so I thought, the only thing I could think of was I just said, hey, that was funny. You know, I mean, because just weird sort of things all the time, things getting misplaced, moved around, people talking, you know, you wake up sometimes and hear somebody talking or, you know, I've heard old telephones or just all sorts of bizarre things that you hear. I think also our connection with the people at the Pride House over the years, I think some of those folks come and visit sometimes and do sort of weird things and pranks and stuff.
Oh, yeah. I remember that. We had that discussion as well. That was an interesting one. But that's if you want to bring that one up. And I was talking about the smells that we were discussing at one point. And, yeah, that was very interesting. In fact, I think we kind of had that again one night this week, I believe.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't me this time. It was Nancy. So, and, you know, after we did the investigation last weekend, it's been kind of quiet, but every now and then, you know, we kind of sense something, but we've always sent stuff every now and then when we've been doing this stuff anyway, so, you know.
Well, that's something that I think, you know, like you say, there's so many categories, whether it be orbs or whatever, everybody has a different opinion or a different idea about it. But one thing that I remember early on seeing some stuff when we actually started doing the investigating or, you know, what they call it, and, you know, people had this debate about, well, how could a spirit, you know, how could this energy go anywhere? It doesn't have enough energy. It's stuck in one place. And, you know, and I thought, wow, well, that didn't seem to be the case because, you know, we can't seem to go to the grocery store or the post office or whatever without having something weird go on and maybe even happen at home when we get back home. So I can't speak for other people, but it definitely seems to me that whatever this energy is or these spirits, that they very well move around. They exist in every space that we do. Just, I mean, everywhere we are, they are. And you know, that was kind of a revelation early on to think, well, you know, for some reason I thought they were all stuck, confined to the haunted house, you know, all the ghosts are in the haunted places, but spirits are everywhere, you know. So, I don't know, it's kind of weird how you grow along the way and you realize that, you know, you kind of have to just find your own beliefs, your own things through your own experiences, no matter what other people say, because... I tell you, the one thing that we've learned that we know for a fact is that all things are possible, and that's what we experience, is that the sound coming out of a radio can be manipulated. Your own voice as you talk can be manipulated to when it reaches the recorder. It's been changed into something else. Anything can be used to speak through, to do things with. This paranormal world that we all talk about, anything is possible. It's magical. I mean, the things that we've seen are just like someone doing a magic trick. And it's amazing and hard to believe some of the things that we've seen. So the biggest thing is that anything is possible, and the sky is the limit, really.
Yeah, that's one thing I'm just I believe it was yesterday. Nancy was out somewhere, and I texted her. I said, "You're not going to believe what I just found," because we hadn't really unpacked from the previous investigation. And you're talking about energy, you know, when spirits are pulling energy and they can manifest certain things, as well as, you know, manipulate voices and all that. I was pulling out the batteries. Well, I use four specific ones for my IR. And the fourth one looked like somebody put it in a fire. It was warped and melted.
Yeah.
And I inspected my IRs, wires, they're all fine, nothing. So I can either leave it as, you know, as an outsider saying, hey, you know, it was just a defective battery, or where we were at, whatever was in there was working hard, trying to manifest something. So,
yeah.
You know, but that was odd. Yeah.
Sucked all the juice out of it.
Yeah. So that was pretty, very exclamation point put on that one. So.
Yeah.
But then. So how do you feel about, I mean, if you see doppelganger of yourself or Aaron sees one of you, how is that going to make you feel again? I mean, you said it's been quiet for a month or two now. And what's that going to, is that going to bring more questions to your mind or another avenue of looking into it or?
Well, the questions never stop, as you know, with paranormal things. So we just, we made a connection. It's weird how, you know, as long as you pay attention, document, make notes about things, you can start to find at least just like a crumb of maybe what's happening. And that last time when she said that I was in the office with her, when I walked in there and I felt that very heavy feeling, it didn't dawn on me until a couple hours later that when this started earlier on, a couple months before, I had been in the garage unpacking some of our stuff from the move, and I went to open this box, and it had some Victorian stuff in it that we had bought somewhere. And you could feel opening the box, there was this energy that was just like coming out of the box, and I thought, man, this is weird. And I went into the house, and as I went through the living room, I got this really heavy, disorienting feeling. And it dawned on me that last time that Aaron saw me those two feelings were the same, and that was the day that she saw me. I think that was the first time that she saw the other me, whoever that is. and so there was a feeling connected to it. There was a strong energy feeling that happened both times. So even though it's just a crumb, it's a beginning of, okay, maybe if we feel that energy feeling again, maybe we'll know maybe something's going to happen, or, you know, maybe it'll be too late, it'll be afterwards. But, you know, all you can do is just try and take notes and figure out what this is. I mean, you know, it's concerning. It's a very concerning thing to think about, that it goes on in your house and you don't know that you have any control over it. And that's the concerning part of it.
So you're saying the feeling that you had when she experienced you didn't want to go back in the computer room, and versus the box with the Victorian stuff, that was the same feeling? That was the same feeling?
Very similar. Very similar.
Very similar.
It was strong and heavy.
Well, I can't make one suggestion if it happens again.
Mm-hmm.
Because right now I've got somebody that I'm fixing to check out, and it's having to deal with African. And like taking a page out of Ed Warren and Zappa. And that's take that object and put it away from everything.
Oh, I know.
Put some salt around it for right now.
I know. See, I need to probably try it with that, but the problem is, it's so crazy, is that we love old things and antiques, and there's no telling how many thousands of tiny little things we've got stuck in. I mean, we've got Native American pottery from my cousin's land.
Yeah.
We've got stones from Italy, from like Pompeii, from Rome. I got a little piece of stone from the Colosseum in Rome. I mean, there's stuff I found at a sale a couple weeks ago, a Civil War cannonball. I mean, there's no telling, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Everything we have adds to the weirdness, so. But, I've definitely thought about that, just taking those items and moving them and seeing, you know, what happens.
Yeah, it'd be a process of elimination. That way you kind of can, you know, go through a few months, see if that, you know, takes care of it. And you know that's the object. That's going to be a process of elimination for both of you for a while.
I know. Probably. I don't look forward to that one.
But, hey, at least you know which one it is. And that'll be a good thing. I'll let you continue on, and I'll call it a good night, and good talk to you.
All right, good to hear from you, Henry. Thanks
all
for
right,
jumping
on. Yeah, good night.
Cool.
Sweet. I've actually had the fortune of working with Henry too. He's from how is it? Silent Wolf Paranormal or?
In Rowlett.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I just wanted to make sure I had that right. They're a pretty cool team. Him and Nancy, they work real well with us as well.
Yeah, definitely.
And he did bring up a pretty good point too that you know, for some people it's audio and for some people it's visual, and it's pretty cool to know that his forte, you know, so to speak, is full spectrum camera and video and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's weird, you know, you just have to sort of, you know, I guess it's people doing all the basics, taking pictures and recording, and then you start to notice, well, I'm getting more stuff on my pictures than I am on the recorder, and, you know, it just takes a little time to pursue that, because like I said, I've seen folks that's their deal. They get really weird stuff on the camera.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Hey, one of my favorite things to do is I actually like to walk around by myself sometimes in a location and really just do my thing with photography, you know, and I'll walk around with the camera strapped to me, a recorder strapped to me, and believe it or not, man, most of what I capture actually happened during that time.
Wow. Huh. Yeah, see, I mean, that's, and that may be real specific to you. and someone else, it may not happen that way for them. It's a weird thing. It has to do with each person, everybody, whatever their energy, whatever it is that makes them, is a certain combination, and the only way to do it is trial and error, really.
Yeah, for sure.
That's why I get the most EVPs when I'm investigating in the nude.
I didn't catch your name, but I've been dying to tell you that you sound like Matthew McConaughey. So,
well, it's funny that you say that. Matthew McConaughey and I actually have a couple of mutual friends.
That's funny. I thought it was cool. I was like, hey, is that Matthew McConaughey on there?
I do appreciate the compliment, though.
You're welcome.
Oh man, that's funny. But yeah,
his dad and my buddy's dad actually used to own a business together many years ago.
Nah, that's weird.
Yeah.
It's a small world, man.
Yes, it is.
Well, I'll pretend to be sidekick and I'll say I knew that.
Yeah, there you go. Awesome.
Oh man. So, you have anything new and coming up for the near future?
Pretty much. I mean, we just sort of, like I say, we live this stuff, and so it's just a matter of, on this day, what are we going to do? Because we sometimes we'll go down the road, find a spot, something that we're interested in, and we'll take the cameras, video cameras and recorders, and just kind of walk around or sit somewhere. Not advised for anybody to do this, but because this stuff already happens around us at home, we do things at home, we may decide that we're just going to sit here and record and we'll put on a camera, or we may try out some things. We tried out some stuff here recently that got pretty wild at home, and it's a really strange thing. I guess you find the boundary when when you reach it. Yeah, I don't know. Let's see. I do know Aaron's telling me about History, Haunts, and Legends in November. We're going to speak at that conference in Jefferson.
Oh, cool. Sweet. Yeah, Jefferson, man. Yeah, and I can't say it enough. That town has my heart, man. Like,
yeah.
Every time I get a chance to go, I just go.
I know. Yeah, and that was a great thing. I'm so glad that, Jeremy's an awesome guy, and he told us that about you and Stacy, and y'all came and helped us with that, the investigation at the Pride House. And it was cool to meet y'all because it was like you said, we can relate. Y'all are laid back, and everything just flowed. We all just worked well together, and we're just really fortunate to have met all of you, Jeremy and you and Stacy, and being there and the next time around, that's what I remember you saying. Hey, any chance to get to Jefferson? It's such a great place.
Oh yeah, for sure. And one of my favorite places actually really was the Pride House, and then I found it like totally awesome to find out that you and Aaron actually got married in the Pride House.
Yeah. It was really weird. It sort of fell into place because when we decided that we were going to get married, and we were like trying to find an old house or a cool place that that we really liked. And the few things that we checked out, they didn't work. They weren't going to work out. And we thought, well, let's call Jenny and let's ask her. And what's really strange is that while she owned the house, it was the only wedding, but we found out when we had to call the local Jefferson, the people there to find someone to do the ceremony, they said, oh, yeah, they used to do weddings in the 70s there. That was the place to go. So, we had no idea about that. And so I don't know if it was something that they were used to, but I know on that day that it really – that house felt very, you know how it is. The house is extremely alive, but it just felt packed with all these different spirits that were there, and it was a really great time.
Nice. Nice. Now, I know, I mean, you know, and I had only been to the Pride House, I want to say like two or three times, and I actually got to, you know, do my style of photography in the Pride House a couple of times, and man, I was completely affected by the fact that it actually, it's no longer there. And my first thought was like, oh my God, I mean, how does Ian feel, you know?
Yeah, well, yeah, man, I tell you, that's a weird deal because, you know, on one hand, we were just extremely thankful that Jenny and her niece were safe because they were in the carriage house right behind it. I mean, there's only like a car width away, and you know, there's no telling, mm-hmm. you know, those gas lines, there's all sorts of things, and we were just so happy that she was safe, you know. And then you, over time, and you think about, I mean, we've learned about. I put this on a website somewhere when I was talking about doing recordings, and I was saying that, you know, while I can't tell you that all these different voices are spirits, I know for a fact at the Pride House that we are dealing with spirits of, you know, energy of people who used to live there, because we've actually recorded names on the recorders that no one knew about, and we had a friend that went and researched. And at first she didn't find anything, and then she started turning up things later on and said, hey, these names, these were people. They lived there off and on, or, you know, they weren't there until this time. And so those people, through our recorders, told us who they were. So, you know, that was the ultimate confirmation for us that, you know, people do live on, and there's a part of them that exists and is coherent, and they were teaching us and helping us to figure out part of their history. So those people to us, as much as it can be, felt like family. And that's why, you know, that house, when you go in, you feel like it's home, and you don't, and there's so many people that have had that feeling that you don't want to leave. You just feel like you've come home. And so you worry about that, you know, what happened to these people? Are they okay? I mean, you know, you've made a connection over the years with these spirits that you can walk in and you know, hear them call your name out loud and hear and experience all these strange things, that you feel like you're connected. And so, yeah, that was the second part of it, is just, I hope they're okay. What's happened to them, you know? And I think at that moment, around the time that stuff happened, things really went off here at home. Things went crazy, lots of banging, lots of weird sounds and stuff, and every time I would think about the house or them or Jenny or whatever was going on, and sounds and things would start going off, you know, in the house. So I don't know, it's a weird connection that we have with them, and it was, man, it was, you know, still, it's hard to believe, you know. You just kind of,
yeah,
I don't know, it really is hard to believe.
Yeah, and it was like I was saying before you came on, man, I'm totally excited that Jenny has decided to go ahead and rebuild, you know.
Uh-huh.
I mean, granted, it's going to be a new house, but at the same time, you're putting that artifact back into the location that it was at, you know.
Right. Yeah, and you know that the structure. I mean, there was already something that happened in the late '60s. There was a fire upstairs, mm-hmm. From, you know, some previous owner, but. The house was changed even from the beginning, just because over the time, you know, when they had to rebuild, it was different. So that didn't matter to them, because I'm sure they probably, I can't say for sure, but I would imagine they probably still see it as they see it, the way it was originally, the people that
right.
lived there. They didn't have bathrooms in it. They didn't have, you know, the showers and stuff like that. But they're still in that house. So I think that even, you know, just the energy contained in that spot, you know, what I'm hoping is that I feel that they're still in that spot, you know, no matter what shape you change around them, they're still in their house.
Yeah. And one of the things that I learned my first time there is that the spirits in that house are actually very intelligent, man. Like, we were down in the thing is called the parlor room, right?
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I turned my ghost box on just to test it out. because believe it or not, man, Jefferson is radio dead for me. Like, I very rarely get like anything consequential from locations in Jefferson because, for one reason or another, my ghost box doesn't work in Jefferson all that much. But I turned my ghost box on, and before I had it scanning, I got the voice of I don't want to say a little girl, but a younger person. And this person said, "I burned here." And then later that day, I found out that somebody actually had a had an accident in that fireplace.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, it was Jenny. Yeah, that's wild. Yeah, yeah. I'll have to dig through some more of that stuff because you were getting some great stuff that were coming off your box that, you know, I had sent you those that were on the video. But yeah, there's some more that I want to send to you because they, over the years, I mean, we've used different boxes and different things there, and man, they will work anything, and it's real interesting. But another thing that matters too is you know, you made your box and you have a connection with it, so that's a big thing too that helps.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And it's kind of funny because I feel like that box picks up more than any other box I've used only because I built that one, you know?
Yeah. Oh, I believe it.
But, yeah, man, I've gotten some stuff from Pride House that I've not gotten anywhere else, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, there's something, I don't know. There was a house, there was someone who was going to write a book years ago. She was doing like all these different locations, and she had been to the Pride House and decided she was going to do a chapter on that. So she started digging around and doing research, and I've never heard anything else about it, but she claims that she found that there was a house that sat right in that spot that was built in like 1732. Before that, and so, I mean, there's no telling how many layers of energy and things built up history that, you know, that are there that brings all that energy, and because the house is alive. I mean, I don't know how other people feel it, but I know that Aaron and I, when we go in there, I mean, it's like kind of putting your finger in a light socket or something. I don't know, but I mean, in a good way, if that's possible. It's just such an energized feeling that just you feel it the whole time you're there. And it's really, I don't know, I guess it's that weird connection, like you plug into it or something. I don't know.
Right. Yeah, for sure. Also, I think, Jeff, do you have any of Ian's EVPs lined up for tonight?
Yes, I do. Hold on just a minute here.
Sweet.
The first one I have, it's actually at the top of the list here. It's 34578.
Oh, yeah.
Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, that was at a friend of ours' house, and there were some things going on that were happening to some children, and she wanted to know if it was safe, you know, what was in the house and everything. So we went and did some recording, and I was just setting up the camera and counting off the cameras and everything and just going 1, 2, 3, 4. And what's funny is this 3, 4, 5, 7, 8, I always wondered what happened to 6, you know, like they had a weird way of counting.
All right, so let's play. It's only about 3 seconds long, so let's play this here.
1, 2, 3, okay.
Nice.
Yeah, it sounds like an older woman.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's really clear.
That was pretty clear.
It's just weird. I just thought, wow, you know, like, did they forget 6 or?
I want to play that again. I want to play it again.
1, 2, 3. Okay.
It is a woman's voice.
Nice.
That's crazy. Let me see. What are some other ones I got here? I put them all on the soundboard shortly before we came on the air. Now it's just a matter of scrolling down to find them. Oh, I think I'm going the wrong way. Oh, wait, it's... Huh? I don't know. Oh, hold on. Keep talking. Carry on.
There's some that I put in there that I tried to... while I was thinking about it, I just put, like, where it was at or... and there's some that say house shopping, and when Aaron and I had to move and try to find a place to live, we knew that we took our recorders with us everywhere we went, and we just told the realtor that it was our way of keeping notes. But basically we had to, like, interview the house. We had to get a feel for, you know, the vibe, what kind of energy was in the house, because we were going to live there, and we always have weird stuff happen, so we didn't want to be in, you know, some really weird or bad place. So everywhere we went, we recorded, and we could get an idea about the personality of the house or the history of the house from the things that we recorded. And we recorded some really crazy stuff. We went to houses. There were houses that were 100-something years old and some that were like 6 or 7 years old, and some of the newer ones had more audio coming out of them than the old houses. You know, it was just really crazy.
And I found those here on the... on the soundboard here. The first one I'm going to play here, it's House Shopping Aaron.
Oh, yeah, there's another old lady.
All right, let's play this one here. It's about 5 seconds long.
Now, the stuff, Aaron, that your dad, is he just...
I heard a woman's voice, but what was she saying?
She was saying Aaron. It was just sounded like an older, like a southern woman, a pretty, really old lady, basically.
Let me play.
Oh, wow. She was saying Aaron, but it kind of came out like Aaron.
Okay, let me play it again here.
Now, Seth, Aaron, that's your dad, is he just...
Oh, okay,
oh, wow,
okay.
Yeah.
They're
towards the end.
Yeah.
Let's see, the next one is House Shopping Female. Let's see. Here we go.
Hey, here's another good positive.
Okay.
I don't
mind.
Whoa.
I love that. And I do not know what she's saying. We keep trying to figure it out, but I love you, you know, just hear whoever she is, the personality or whoever it is, but...
Play
that
one again. Hey, here's another good positive.
Okay.
What's the name of that one?
House Shopping
Female.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that one says female, and then it says what she's saying. I put on there.
Okay.
Because, you know, it's funny because. Listening to that one and actually working with EVP for a while,
uh-huh.
That sounds like she's speaking backwards.
I know. You know, some of those things are. Some of them are backwards, and some of them even sound like they get scrambled, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah, for sure. I'll toss that into audition tonight, and I'll see what I can come up with.
Yeah.
The next one is House Shopping Like That Room.
Oh, yeah.
Take a listen to this.
They had a door, I think.
Yeah, weird to... Oh.
But they just took it all in to paint the floor. I hope it's not wet.
Oh, no. Because this is a...
Oh, nice. that one has personality. She's like that room.
Yeah.
Yeah,
there was a porch that on this old house, and they had painted, like, I was asking if the floor was wet because the floor was white. Everything was painted white. And so we were just pointing at it, talking about it. And so I guess, you know, she liked
it. Nice. The next one I have is House Shopping Southern. That's what I got it titled as.
Oh, okay. This is a manipulation. This is Aaron and I. And it's not what we said, and it comes out, you'll hear how it sounds odd, but she says something like, you're so crazy, and then I say, Tommy was Southern, but, I mean, the whole thing sounds bizarre. Our voices were just manipulated into this.
Okay. Try it. Let's listen to this one.
The closet is right here. So, tell me what's that room.
Hmm.
Oh, I didn't come through.
Strange stuff.
Okay, so you know that was it house shopping female? What is what is she saying? I couldn't help myself, so I just dropped it into audition, and I reversed just the part where she was talking. And dude, this is trippy, but she says I'm an animal Diablo.
That's weird.
Yeah.
So she's a devil animal.
Right? I'm going to try to put phone to the headphones and see if, like, maybe y'all could hear it real quick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You heard
that.
It?
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Now we got to add a new category. The Animal Diablo.
Yeah. Let's see. The next one here, this is from the Pride House. Can you kiss my sweetheart?
Okay, yeah. This is another manipulation where Aaron, at the end, it's going to sound like Aaron, but, you know, it's out of context, and she didn't say this. We were setting up some cameras in the parlor. We were going to just do some recording. And she says, so you only set up 3 cameras because she's just asking. And I said, well, you know, we only need this many cameras. But at the end, you're going to hear what sounds like Aaron say, can you kiss my sweetheart? But you can tell, obviously, it sounds, I don't know, spirit voices have a different sound to them. But anyway, it's just it's a total manipulation of her voice.
All right, here we go.
So you did the 4th camera because...
Yeah, we were in the parlor. Yeah, just weird, you know, things that kind of out of place.
Yeah, for sure. See, you see what I mean, Jeff, about Ian's EVP being, like, so clear?
Yeah, that is pretty clear.
There's one if you find it's Pride House and it says a woman walking across the floor. That one is like probably my all-time favorite from, well, probably all of them. But the whole thing is spirit voice. And the only thing that I took off the beginning was a woman who she was asking about Mr. Bender. She was asking a question and she said, John, you know, is that you or something? I don't know, whatever her question was. But the whole thing that you're going to hear is all, you know, it wasn't anyone present. And you can hear her walk across the floor, and she says, I don't know. And then she says something like, well, would you like some tea? And then you hear this banging noise. But it's just one long, it was like a piece out of time just jumped on the recorder.
And what was it called?
I think it says, like, Spirit Woman Walking and Talking.
Okay,
it's
hold on.
It's Pride House.
Here we go.
Nice.
That sounded like something tapping, like on a table or something, like that.
Yeah. You know, actually, now that I'm listening, well, we're listening to a couple of these, I'm finding that it almost sounds like the same female that's coming on a couple of these EVPs.
Yeah, there's one I put in there in the list that it's called Mr. Turwell compilation, and we recorded, it's the only time we've done this so far, but we recorded 5 different things four EVPs from the Pride House, and this man has a very special sound. I mean, you can pick his voice out of others. And so I started piecing it together, like, hey, you know, we're hearing from this guy, and the first time we ever heard from him, he just said Turwell. So we don't know if that was his last name, his first name. We have no idea, but we just started calling him Mr. Turwell. And so we got actually five EVPs. The fifth one, we were in Oklahoma, completely different direction, long way away, investigating an old military fort, and we recorded his voice, and he just said, carry on. So it was like the guy came from the Pride House, somehow knew we were in another state somewhere, and just, like, dropped in on us. But we were able to have the same voice five different times. And so, you know, like you said, there's certain people that show up, especially in a certain location, you know, that we've noticed, you know, and that's the benefit of being able to go to the same place over and over again, because you can start to learn and see patterns and things like that to help you figure out maybe who you're talking to.
Sure. This is Mr. Turwell.
So those were all different EVPs, but we were able to match together the same voice signature. So,
wow.
Hmm.
That guy literally sounds like maybe an older man, you know, maybe like, I want to say like late 50s, early 60s, you know?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's crazy that, you know, you go to a location 3-4 times, or, you know, maybe even 5, 6, or 7 times, and you get the same voice, you know, over and over again.
I know, because, you know, you even think that, I mean, you know, why would you necessarily, but it starts to make sense that, I guess, whatever kind of life went on in the house, there was a lot of love in that house, and there was some extreme loss. You know, I don't know. I mean, maybe it's that way for a lot of locations. You are able to talk to, you know, Mrs. Smith or whoever it is that was there the most, and maybe they'll show up more times, you know. But the weird thing about the Pride House was early on, it seemed that the spirits would sort of switch out. There would be a few that we knew, the family members, but others would come along. So there'd be some common voices, then there would be these extras that would just come and go.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here's another one from the Pride House. It's Little Girl. Can you tell us about this one?
Okay. I think, is it the I Am?
I don't know. Let's play it here.
Are you the little girl that Aaron saw? Are you the young girl with the long, sandy blonde hair?
Oh, wow.
That's from our wedding, and that's my mom. Aaron, on our wedding day, Aaron saw two girls. One of them she believed was Jenny, and the other one was her sister Elwilda. And she saw them full on, you know, looked like you and I, and they were smiling. It just felt like it was some very endearing thing, you know, for our wedding day, that it was a special thing for her. And she told us about it, and she was telling my mom. So the next day, my mom was in her room, and she had a recorder, and she had a meter, and she was getting these responses on the meter. And so she said, well, that's where she said, are you the little girl that Aaron saw with the long sandy blonde hair? And so you hear that response, you know, this little girl saying, I am, I am, I am.
Now check this out. This is actually, I want you to listen to this and compare the voice of that little girl you just heard to the voice that you're going to hear on this one here. This is we actually got this a couple years ago. So check this one out.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, that's actually kind of a little scary.
But you know, okay.
Yeah, it's very simple.
That was actually from a place up in Arkansas called the Allen House, we think that there may be a connection between the two houses.
I've heard that, yeah. Because we know a mutual person that, I guess, was there, and they were saying they thought maybe that Jenny or someone was over there, and I don't know.
Yeah.
Or Sarah, I'm not sure. Yeah, I'd love to go to that place.
Yeah, it's pretty nice. I've been up there a couple of times.
Do they still do investigations or allow investigations?
As far as I know, the last time I was there was, I guess, in the spring of 2011. So I got to the point where if it's not within like 30 or 45 minutes of me, I'm probably not going.
Yeah, this paranormal stuff, it gets you every which way. Equipment, gas, it doesn't matter.
Well,
oh, man, it really does.
I wouldn't worry about it too much, except everybody else, they got, you know, their teams or whatever that they can switch off driving with. For me, it's just me.
Yeah.
And I live like 4 hours away from everybody.
This is the truth. I had to buy Jeff's ticket to Old South to get him to come pick me up.
Well, at that time I was broke.
Yeah.
That's
no,
the only
but
reason
you know,
I wasn't going to go on that. I didn't have any money.
No, it worked out, man. I'm so glad because my friend Clay, he had something come up last minute and he couldn't go, and then I was like, oh man. No, and I thought that money was gone. And I thought I was just gonna have to charge it to the gang, you know, and I was like, wait, maybe Jeff's not going and we'll hook him up. And then come to find out you weren't going, and then you know, we worked out a deal with you coming to pick us up, and I was like,
yep.
Yes. So I mean, it worked out. It worked out in the long run for sure.
But if you remember the whole way up there, once we got loaded in the van, I sat there and slept.
Ian, by the way, when we drove, because it was a 14-hour drive, right? I started sweating in Dallas, and I did not stop sweating until I got back into Dallas like 2 days later. It was a hot summer, man.
Yes, it was.
Oh, man.
It was very bad. I couldn't get my normal, you know, regular good night sleep because, you know, sleeping in a van. And every time we'd stop, Martin had to get out and smoke a cigarette, so I had to get out of my seat to let him out. So when we got to the location, after we got everything set up, I went to sleep. And everybody gave me a hard time about it. They were like, oh, it's such a cool place. I was like, guys, y'all don't understand. If I don't get my sleep, I am an asshole. You want me to get my sleep. Because, I mean, the filter from my brain to my mouth already doesn't function properly as it is. But if I don't have my sleep, it doesn't work at all.
Oh man, I wanted so bad to take a nap after we you know unloaded everything.
Mm-hmm.
But I was part of the crew that went to the store, and I went to the store because I needed batteries and more tapes for the mini DV. And you know, some of the crew decided to shop like they were going on a shopping spree, and
yep.
We were gone like 2 hours, man, and I was like, all I wanted, I could have taken a 2 hour nap. And
I just pitched in my food money and said, here you go, I'll be in dreamland.
Oh, that's a good, you know, that's a good time of year to bring that up about batteries. Anybody, if you know paranormal people on your Christmas list, get them batteries. You can never have enough batteries.
Right.
For sure. We need to get somebody to invest in maybe some kind of never-ending battery, you know, like a subatomic battery or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
What are those big those big ones? What are those called?
Oh, the lantern batteries.
Yeah, the big ones are like square.
Yeah, yeah.
Then just make a whole bunch of those. There you go.
I think they're even starting to figure out, you know, I used to think that your batteries would only get drained when it was stuck in something because it was making a connection. So, you know, they were fine as long as they were in a box. But now it seems like we keep coming across boxes of dead batteries now. Like, now they figured out how to just suck the juice out of them in the box.
Mm-hmm.
Which is not good.
Now, oh, man. I totally forgot what I was going to ask. this was something that me and you have actually touched on when last time we were face to face, and I thought it was cool that you were talking about it because it was something that I had noticed along the way. Whenever you capture an EVP, you know, you catalog it and you just store it, and then maybe you go back like 3 months later to see what you can let go on what you're keeping, and then you listen to the same EVP. And it says something either completely different or maybe it reversed itself or something is different about that EVP than the first time you listened to it.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's there have been a few other people I've talked to who have actually had that. They had it on, like, cassette tape, you know. There was some old school stuff they were talking about. They'd recorded all this stuff, and they went back and listened to it, and it kept changing. And, I mean... You know, like I say, it's borderline. Everything that we talk about as being, you know, spirit world, it all seems to blend together with alien or, you know, whatever you imagine that some of these abilities are, because they're so, to be able to change things, you know, you're recording to change what they say, to sometimes take away what was there. I mean, you know, it seems like there's no end to what they, whoever they are, can do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, every time I go out or every time I record something, it's like another piece to that puzzle, you know, and it's like you're always learning and you're always like, and just when you think you got a grip on what's going on, something happens that totally blows your mind and you're like, really? Now I got to rethink everything that I did before.
Yeah. Yeah, you gotta kind of keep what you think, everything flexible, you know, because it always changes. Yeah, I wonder the recordings. I mean, this is a whole other topic, but I've wondered. There's a lot of coincidences or things that are similar to the way a computer works with all of this stuff. And I mean, you know, let's say that this stuff we're recording is information, and, you know, what if it's, you know, kind of like a virus or whatever it is, it can alter itself. I mean, it can change itself on whatever it's on. I don't know. There's just a lot of strange stuff that goes on to where it just seems, I don't know, it's either working on its own like a program or something's controlling it, so.
Yeah. You know, there's something that I want to try before it becomes obsolete, but what I want to do is just take a blank tape into a location and just take it with me, you know, to every room that I investigate, and then after all is said and done, get back home, cut the package open, and then listen to the whole blank tape, because I mean, if they're able to leave EVP on you know, recording or maybe even a tape that you're recording there,
uh-huh.
Who's to say that they can't record an EVP on a blank tape, you know?
Yeah, I mean, there are people who claim that they have done that it worked, and I've never tried it myself. I would definitely say do it because, you know, the question is, does it have to have that magnetic head on the cassette player in order to make the connection, or, you know, you've got a cassette tape, all it is scotch tape with a bunch of rusty metal on it. So, I mean,
yeah.
The metal is there. The, you know, the particles for them to put something onto are there. So, yeah, that would be a great thing to try.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And then, you know, it'll be a blast back to the skeptics because, you know, I speak to a lot of people that don't really believe in EVP, and they say, oh, you know, it could have been somebody outside talking or... You know, maybe one of y'all were having a side conversation that you don't remember, and it's kind of like, you know, I was kind of there. I would know, you know.
Yeah, you know, the biggest thing that we, long ago, we never did any of these things. This is for, you know, when my dad was killed, all of these life experiences became a mission at that point to try and figure out what if my dad was around anywhere, if we were able to communicate with him, and that's what really drove all of this that pushed Aaron and I on this journey that we're on. I've never been concerned, you know. I think a skeptic will always be a skeptic. I think it's a personality. I think some people are actually skeptics because they're afraid that it's true. They don't want it to be true. But we've never, ever once wanted to convince anyone or you know, make them a believer. We know what we experience, and it's as real as anything else. And we do all this for ourselves and share what we find with others so that it can maybe help somebody, give them hope, you know, that there's something else out there. But for people who are skeptics, I mean, there's just, I don't know, there's not really any time to try and, you know, they're always going to have it was this or that, or, you know, when you're recording stuff, it's coming from a radio station. But I keep trying to tell, there's a lot of science-minded people out there that, you know, because of their science, it has to fit in a certain box. It has to be a certain way, and they're limiting themselves because when I said earlier that all things are possible, that's this stuff we call paranormal, anything can happen, and it does. Voices get manipulated, sounds, visions. I've seen stuff, Aaron and I have seen stuff float across our living room that I couldn't even, it wasn't a person, it wasn't an animal, I don't know what it was, but you know, Aaron has seen more things than I have, and she has seen creatures in the backyard. I mean, all sorts of stuff that sound like from another dimension. I mean, who knows? But, you know, to try to get somebody to believe that if they think all this is just, you know, crazy anyway, it's kind of pointless. So it's better, you know, just to focus on what we all do, and the folks that don't believe probably will always be that way, you know?
Yeah, for sure, for sure. You know, speaking of seeing stuff, man, my house, when we first started, my house wasn't really that active, but things kind of come and go, you know, you can't stop that.
Right.
But here lately, man, I've been seeing cats, dude. Like the other day I saw a black and white cat walk past one of my dogs and then walk back real fast, and it was kind of like corner of my eye thing, but it was still in my peripheral, you know, like I could still make out what it was. Then
yeah.
I looked real quick, and it was gone. And I was like, that's kind of weird, you know. And then Stacy was going to feed our normal cats, and I was going with her into the room, and then as I was walking in and closing the door behind me, I saw a gray cat just kind of like crouched down and looking up, and then I looked back real quick, and it was gone. I was like, what's going on, man? I've never really seen animals out here, like spirit animals. That usually when I see something out here, it's either like person or shadow or anything like that, you know?
Well, I'll tell you, I mean, you know, I have no idea if it's related, but one of the big things about the Pride House was spirit cats. And there was actually a person that wrote a book in the 70s about haunted locations that had spirit animals. And there was a chapter about the Pride House and the cats, and cats are seen there a lot. We've recorded the sounds of cats, and people have seen lots of cats that disappear, so it's kind of interesting, you know. I don't know if there's a connection or not, but.
Huh. Interesting. And what's really interesting about it is that those cats were seen today, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't know, I mean, I'm one of those people that are like always thinking forward, but, you know, who's to say that maybe it's all connected, and the reason I saw those cats is because I was going to be speaking with you tonight on the radio here on Blog Talk, you know?
You never know, you know. When we would get ready the night before to go to the Pride House, we would have people, like, there would be sounds in the house and out in the yard and sound like somebody throwing pebbles at the window and knocking on stuff. And it was almost like, you know, we know you're coming. And, you know, we were three and a half hours away. And but it always happened, like the night before. It was, you know, somehow they knew. So there's this connection, I think. You know, whatever we know and all of us know, they know. So.
Oh, yeah, for sure, man, for sure. And I tell people all the time, like, I seriously feel that spirits know you're going to their location before you even know.
Yeah.
And it's weird how it happens. I mean, you know, say tomorrow or tonight, you're like, you know, tomorrow I'm going to go to a Jefferson Hotel. And then small little nuances would happen, and then you're at the investigation at Jefferson Hotel, and then something happens, and you're like, that totally happened at the house. You know, like, how did they know I was coming here, you know?
Yeah. I'm telling you, man, it is many layers of bizarre things.
Oh, man. Well, I can't wait till the next time we can actually investigate together again, man. That was so much fun.
Oh, yeah, we would love to, anytime. We enjoyed it, and it was, you know, like you said earlier, I mean, it just, there's just a certain click that you have with certain people, and we all have that laid-back sort of approach, and I don't know, it just, anytime, let us know, and we look forward to it. Like I say, we fairly often, every couple of days or so, we either go somewhere, and now that where we move now, I mean, Waxahachie has got a lot of history in many different things, and so we're trying to get to know what's going on, and we just go walking around, and we've already seen quite a few, you know, people and shadow figures and stuff walking around the downtown area, and you know, recorded quite a few things, and it's just, I don't know, there's history, wherever there's history, I mean, you've got things left over, so we try to at least just keep things going, because it's always, you know, in search of those recordings and that next thing that maybe will bring you closer to something or not, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah, for sure. Actually, I want to say this past year, it might have been the year before, but we found out that a girl was murdered and then dumped on some farmer's land, and the farmer actually found her because he just kept smelling like something was dead. So
uh-huh.
he went and checked out, you know, it was fenced in. So he was driving this little cart, and then he saw her body, and he was like, oh my God. And it was so decomposed that pretty much all that was left was just like the fat, you know?
Uh-huh.
And we found out about it, and this actually happened in Waxahachie, and we found out about it. So we kind of just, we went out there and just recorded in that spot. And I'll tell you this, man, it was pretty interesting, because I felt like something was still there, or if not somebody.
Uh-huh.
And we got some pretty interesting recordings from there, but dude, the smell of death, man, would come in waves. And it was just like, you sit down, you know, we're trying to do an EVP session, the wind would pick up and it would just hit you. And I'm like, I can't even be here, man. I'm going to throw up.
Yeah.
And it's just, I mean, but yeah, I mean, Waxahachie is kind of, strange things happen in Waxahachie that don't really happen anywhere else. And then right around the corner, you have, what's the name of that town where the plane crashed? Kaufman. Yeah, Kaufman's right around the corner. And last year was a big thing in Kaufman. There was a Russian jet that crashed in the middle of a field. And then, like, 5 miles away from that, another plane crashed in the middle of a field. And then two DAs were murdered.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on in that area, man.
I know. Yeah, in this town, especially because, you know, before we got here and I was checking it out, and I believe it was three tribes. They were Native American tribes. That's all that, you know, that was here and up until a certain time. And so I'm very interested in trying to learn more, because the tribes I was not familiar with. I had not heard the names of the tribes. So I know that to me probably is where the energy started, that, you know, that left a mark on the soil here. And then everything you added on top of that just amplified it. So.
Oh, yeah, yeah, for sure. Do some research and see if the Kiowas Indians stayed in that area, because they're, as spiritually, there's some really strong spirits, man. I found out that that Tiawaths actually, you know, stayed in my area, and more specifically, like, on my land.
Yeah.
And so I went outside and just did a little real quick recording, and I asked if they were here, and then I would feel like I knew that they answered, and then so I would ask another question that pertained to their answer. I get inside, man, and it sounds like I was having a freaking conversation, and they told me that, you know, they've been there for a really long time, and they've actually been living on our land for hundreds of years, so I thought it was pretty crazy. I was like, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, that's awesome, though.
Yeah.
We're down to about the last 5 minutes or so. So is there anything specific you want to mention or promote before we go off the air?
Let's see, History Haunts and Legends in November. I believe it's like the second. It's the first weekend in November. And that's the only event, I believe, that's coming up. And other than that, just I'm do what? Oh, yeah, we have, for anybody interested, we have sospara.com. It's a website that has a lot of our recordings on it, has photos, lots of different interesting things to get into, check out. We're on YouTube and Facebook. If always try to put things on there that we do, either, you know, recent recordings or whatever it is, but we just try and share these things. So if you're interested, just SOS Para will pretty much get you our stuff if you Google it. So just appreciate being on the show. I thank y'all very much.
Oh, yeah, man. Cool. Thanks for jumping on and hanging out with us.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's been great.
We'll have to do this more often.
Yeah. Yeah, this has been a lot of fun.
All right. Well, Ian, you have a good evening.
Hey, you too, Matthew. And make sure you get some sleep.
Oh, sleep. Yeah, I'm headed that way now.
Awesome. Have a good night, man.
Hey, you too. Thanks a lot, Martin.
All right.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Man, it's always
cool.
Nice talking to Ian. He's so just laid back and cool, you know?
Yeah. Well, I've seen this commercial right now for, I think it's from Samsung Galaxy. This little watch that does everything. It even has a phone on it.
Oh, yeah. That's actually part of the Note 3. Like, you can actually get it as a secondary option to the Note 3. And, if I'm not mistaken, man, I think Larry Flaxman actually has the Note 3 and the phone, or and the little watch.
Oh, yeah?
He said you can browse Facebook on the watch, send text messages, update your statuses.
Yeah, I already have a thing that does that. It's called a phone. And my phone, like a watch, tells time.
Nice. That's actually a really good point, you know? Why buy the watch when your phone tells time?
Yeah.
You know what? It's for all the kids in school that don't want to pay attention to class, or the people at work that don't want to work.
Oh, my God. Don't tell me that, because there's already – as a teacher, we have a problem with cell phones in class. And if a student is sitting there looking at their stupid watch, oh, my God.
You know, something I want to try here in the near future. I want to pick out a few teams from the North Texas area, and I want to, you know, speak with a few of the members and sit them down and, like, maybe go to a location, like a haunted location, sit them down and, like, and ask them how and why they're in the paranormal, and just, like, let them do their, like, little 5-minute spiel, and then turn that into, you know, take up, let's say, like 10 or 20 of these people together and put together a video and just, like, really promote this, you know, not so much para-unity, but promote that there's other teams in the area that you can work with, you know?
Right. Yeah, that's a good idea.
That'd be fun.
Cool. Well, we are going to head out for the evening. So I want to wish everybody I guess a happy Halloween coming up in the next few weeks.
So. I can't wait.
And everybody
tonight.
Do what?
What music are we playing tonight?
We are going out tonight with AC/DC. You Shook Me All Night Long.
Oh man, I was hoping for Miley Cyrus.